Value Market is Louisville's grocer. Since 1978, Value Market has been your neighborhood grocery store for all of life's best moments. Value Market gets it. Life is busy. That's why Value Market has curbside and delivery since 2013, freeing up more of your time for the more important things in life. Kids' ball games, family visits, work, tailgating, and cookouts. Value Market gets it. That's why Value Market has four area locations to serve your grocery needs. Mid-City Mall, Outer Loop Plaza, Aircoy Manor, and Mount Washington. At Value Market, you got savings in the bag. ValueMarket.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
Time now for Mortgage X's and O's, a winning playbook to get you home, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Happy Sunday, Louisville, Kentucky. It's Jeffrey Tannepool.
And Michael Shad.
And we're Mortgage X's and O's, the winning playbook to get you home.
Here every Sunday from 9:30 to 10 to educate, entertain, and inform about the home buying process.
Yeah, we just want to help make you a better participant, whether you're a buyer, a seller, a vendor, whatever that may be, whatever your role is. We hope that we bring you good fruit that really helps you succeed in real estate, right?
Yeah, we just want to help make you a better participant, as we always say. We just want you to be knowledgeable. Knowledge is power. And, you know, we have things that are ever-changing in our market, and we just want to help.
We're already to June, Mike. I think the end of June marks the halfway point of the year, right?
For
sure. But still, we're in June. Can you believe that?
Q2's almost over.
I mean, it feels like yesterday that we were just, you know, discussing what
you were doing your predictions.
Yeah, I know, and then here we are. June, which is absolutely great.
Now it's the meat of the summertime. You know, I always say there's like it seems like a second reckoning. You know, you have a good spring buying season, but then you have everybody's out of school.
Yeah.
So I think all your families are, you know, they probably got their yards pretty and ready to throw a sign in there if they're going to make a move this year.
My yard's pretty. I got my yard pretty. Mm-hmm. My landscaper's called Promises Landscape, and they did a really good job. They did what they promised. Hey, so anyway,
I might need them.
We, you know, you all know every now and again we come off book. We get fortunate enough to get a guest that maybe not directly related to real estate, but might have some experience. But today I've been trying to get him on this show for 3 years in the running, and we finally got him here today. I'm so excited. Our guest, and again, we're gonna not talk real estate. We're gonna get to talk sports. We're gonna get to talk haircuts. We're gonna talk all kinds of stuff, y'all. Our guest today is
Phil Baker.
Mr. Phil Baker. He's one of the hosts of the Sunday Morning Hangover, which comes on right after we get off. We've been in the same slot now ever since we've been doing it. We're in our fourth year, Mike and I are. And Phil, welcome, man. Welcome to our show, brother.
No, it's awesome to be here. I feel like the great white buffalo that everyone was going after. Every time. You alluded to this, it's kind of starting to die down. It's always sports going around here. I was looking at our sports calendar with everything coming up. But after the PGA Championship and Derby and the whiplash all around, you know, we'll carry the NBA playoffs, our partners over at Louisville City and Racing FC. But I was kind of like, you can come up for air right now for a little bit to kind of catch your breath. And I was like, I told you guys I would.
Man.
It just had to catch my breath a little bit. I was like, looking at Salzman and you guys, I'm like, yeah, I got nothing to do today. So let's.
Love that.
Yeah.
Man. I mean, I'll take hey, you want to come on the show? Sure, I got nothing to do today.
Desperation is a stinky cologne, my friends.
Love
and
that.
You guys smell great. So you don't have to worry about that.
Come in a little.
Trust me, if you're coming to me for real estate, you know, that's why I come to you guys for that. So I'm appreciative of being on here with you guys.
Yeah, because you've already been drinking out of a fire hose because, like, leading into Derby, then we had the PK, the job search, and then PK, and then he hit the ground running.
Yeah, I mean, it's the fairy godmothers of just sports radio. You get two coaching searches with the Louisville and Kentucky jobs. You didn't see the Kentucky one coming for anywhere. Mm-hmm. I remember I was battling a gnarly sinus infection that week, and for the Calipari news, and it was some during our show that Sunday was some unreputable blogger out of Arkansas, and I didn't think anything of it, and I thought something crazy was happening in WrestleMania, and I'm not even a wrestler guy. It's like my buddies in a group message talking about The Rock and Stone Cold and Undertaker, and then it was like, no, Cal's really going to Arkansas. So it was whiplash from that Derby 150 and obviously the PGA Championship. So now we're starting to plan for ACC and SEC Media Days, which is coming up in early July, and then you're back at football
season
before
here
you know
it.
Before
we know it's going to be here. And I know you listen to every show. I know you do. But
he's listening as he's coming in the studio.
But for the people who listen regularly, how we do this is the very beginning segment, we give the story of our guests. So what I want you to do, if you don't mind, is share the story of Phil with our audience, right? And that is, where did you come from if you're not from Louisville? How did you get here? Where'd you grow up? Where'd you go to school? And when we mean school, we mean
high school.
And then we're going to talk about some fun things about that, because I want to understand how you got into the seat you're in. Because is it true? Is it true that the Sunday morning hangover is legitimately the seventh highest rated sports talk radio show in the highly competitive 10 to 12.
There are a lot of options out there in the sense of sports talk radio on Sunday morning. So for the mass, locally, not nationally, I can't speak to that. But yes, the latest ratings books that I've seen, that this little prehistoric and whatnot, that's what it says. So,
well, I feel like you've been stuck on seven for a while. Yeah. I mean, I think that
we're
six
to push
is a bedrock.
We're content. We're happy at our little slot right there. You know, if
lucky
we,
seven.
That we like being there. So, you know, in a ratings market where everything's a peeing contest, I'll say. Peeing because it's a Sunday morning. That's what we try to do. We like to, Kern and I like to stay in our lane with that. So,
well, I was going to say, I'm personally going to write a strongly worded letter to the Sunday morning 10 to 12 committee and just be like, I think you should bump up Sunday morning hangover to at least five or four.
They got to reassess.
I'll do some inside baseball. Salzman and I have been, many moons ago, we've been on Nielsen, just kind of breakdown of the ratings and everything. And if you could see how prehistoric some of these ratings are. You get a little, I kid you not, remember those styrofoam cups with the crazy designs on there? It's like the teal and pink.
I do, yeah.
So you get a notebook like that. If you move, like they'll ask you for what you listen to and things like that. It's a little book. And you write down what you listen to. If you could see what some of the people write down on that, like we would get credit for 93.9 DAVILLE. Like we'll get credit for that. Okay. And it's just like, these are the people that are doing the race. So those are our core audience of the Sunday morning hangover. And it would be like ESPN, and then it would be different call letters with that. But we would have the credit for it.
Okay.
So it's a very, if we were a little bit bigger of a market, we could actually have like a beater all there where I say it's the Flintstones and the Jetsons. So we're going with the Flintstones metrics with that, how we've gotten to that seventh highest rated spot.
I think if anybody listens to your show, they would find a lot of entertainment in it. It's really good, brother.
We're very self-deprecating. Yeah, so that's what we try to do.
Very good. I love the banter. Okay, so let's get into the Phil story.
Okay.
All right, where'd you grow up?
So I'm a lifelong Louisvillian. It's funny. I've been given some opportunities to move elsewhere to larger markets with whether it be some other job opportunities. But, you know, kind of hope is where the heart is. And everybody where I've seen that have decided to move elsewhere, there's like a bangarang effect to this market where you always come back. So traveled a little bit. But, yeah, I grew up in the Hikes Point, Bowman Field area-ish over there. Went to Seneca High School prior to that. Went to the artist formerly known as Myers Middle School.
No way. Yes. I am a 1982 graduate of Myers
Middle School. Myers Mustangs, baby. Yes. That's what, give me some ducks there. That's what we got to do.
I went to school a sixth grader and came home that afternoon a man.
Yeah, that's what my, it's survival of the fittest.
I smoked a cigarette and I French kissed a girl all on the first day of school.
Myers Middle.
I got in the wrong line. Like I ended up getting, I got off the bus and I ended up walking to the back where the smokers were and there she was.
In middle school.
Yes.
Shout out to you.
First day of sixth grade, I'm 11 years old. I've got on a pair of awesome maroon corduroys. I got some pony tennis shoes on, bro. I mean, I'm telling you, it was 1981, but I had it going on. Next was 1980.
Okay. So I started out there when met a ton of my friends that from St. Martha over there. Yeah, we'd always walk home.
Toy Bowl champions.
Oh, yeah, baby. Yeah. I would always have a nice little group of us that lived in the neighborhood. So we had a group that went to St. Martha.
Mm-hmm.
They would walk, get out a little bit after us. The Myers crew would meet up. Then our St. Pius crew would meet up in that little corridor. So we had a whole little crew walking around there. So a lot of us. Then after that, went to Seneca High School. So Jerry Abramson, Wes Unseld, Diane Sawyer, maybe an adult film star that I'm not privy to, and yours truly are the notable alumni of Seneca High School, so I don't have a banner up there yet, but maybe one day.
Were you at Seneca when it was the Redskins?
No, they changed that. That was right on that. They were teetering on, I think that was the late 90s when they switched, and I graduated in 2005. Okay. Maybe it was the early 90s. I can't remember. Everyone was...
Yeah, I think it was right after I got out in 97, so it was mid-late 90s when they...
Were you at Seneca?
I went to PRP, but I was privy to all that stuff.
Yeah, so it's funny to see some of those things, but he's still lonesome, is still blasted all over the school too, and I think they're gonna demolish it and build a new Seneca is what I've heard in recent years.
But at least it's gonna be Seneca, because you know Myers Middle School no longer exists.
I know, it's the artist formerly known as. It's a sad day.
It's a English is a second language school, and I got a chance to tour it in 2021, and so I had not been back to school since June the 2nd, 1984.
Isn't that crazy? That's how insane. Like things are, you're probably always over in that area, of town, and you just never realize, like, this is probably going to be the last time for 20 years that I'm going to be over, 30 years. And it's just like, you don't take that in. I always think about that when I'm driving by notable things. As a kid, I would always drive by like the Toy Tiger on Bardstown Road.
And then here,
and I thought it was a toy store. Yeah. And then I was like, oh, that was the last time I would see that waving tail on Bardstown Road and Goldsmith Lane.
Like, was like, I drive by Priscilla's. I thought it was Priscilla
Presley.
I was going to go in there and try to see if I could find myself a guitar. Now, wait. So I remembered Myers. The minute I walked in, I remembered, you know, it was different.
It was all flooding back to you.
It all came back like that, those tender years of my little mustache that I didn't shave, you know, and like this was the 80s, you know, so if you had a little mustache, you were cool. No, I mean. And then I had the haircut that was parted down the middle, you know, it was like, and it had a little
butt cut, what we call it.
Alfalfa.
Yeah, I mean, no, it was more of a Footloose Kevin Bacon.
Oh, okay, better.
Little moosed up kind of deal there, man.
Okay, the new
skinny tie.
Joe Burrow. Okay, Joe Burrow's got kind of the 80s look back now, so you were rocking that little mullet.
True story, I was in a breakdancing group. We used to break dance out at the Showcase Cinemas right there in the parking lot between KFC and McDonald's. And one night, some lady pulled up, watched the show, gave the guy $10 and $10 in the '80s. Man, that went a long way. We ate big the whole weekend. I want to declare that I was a professional break dancer. But then I met Jack Gill, who is Mike's cohort on the DJ side, and he was actually like a professional break dancer.
Wow,
he was on a national tour or whatnot. He
actually used to DJ because he went to UK. He was a UK grad, so he got to see Tony Delk and all those guys, and he would do all their parties and stuff, and he would bring breakdancers in to the clubs and DJing those parties down there at those venues.
You know, Jack had some hammer pants.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, till
about 10 years ago, he would still be at weddings, and he'd still do, like, flips and splits and stuff.
Yeah, that's
crazy. He's, you know, like I said, he's about the same age as Jeff, so he's kind of had to nix that, you know. So, you know, but he did it for...
Life catches up with everybody.
25, 30 years worth of doing it, man.
All right, so ask Phil the question. I mean, I'm loving that he's public school raised.
Oh,
so
sure.
Survival of the fittest, baby.
I knew I liked that about him.
Yeah. All well, right. You, of course, you're on Sports Talk Radio, so you've had to have some sports prowess back in the day.
Yeah, I mean, so like I said, I was at Seneca, I always played basketball there for a little bit, tried out freshman year. I remember I got cut by Tony Branch, who was on the 1980 basketball team, and I just remember I was probably too competitive, but I went up to him and was like, what do I need to do? And I just kind of had that, like, look at that, I made it sophomore year. Didn't get a ton of play time. That was like when they were winning the LIT and everything, but it was like that clarity of like, okay, I know what I need to do to get it. So played a little bit on and off with that. Had buddies that played football and baseball with that, and just always kind of played around the neighborhood and everything. Went to U of L after that for undergrad to do some communications and the SPAD program. And then I kind of got the bug to go after my MBA, started interning at ESPN Louisville. John Salzman was kind of helping me out with just getting board op stuff. Just kind of know that sports talk radio isn't the most lucrative line of work. It's like, what could I do? Started helping out with some of the marketing side and advertising side of things, doing some on-air things, and while kind of juggling my master's work over at IU. And just never finished it. Kind of got the bug. I've always kind of floated and gravitated toward, like, I'll go back. I think I got about halfway through, and I've told myself, oh, I'll go back one day and finish it. And here we are, you know, a decade later. But, you know, got the bug here with that. And I saw what they were building out from our friends in Kansas City with Sports Talk Radio, and there really wasn't anything like that. Had some help from some of the competitors. Daniel Rucker, who used to be the producer for the Joby and Denny show.
Yeah.
I worked with him at Kroger at McMahon Plaza, and he would just let me shadow him. He used to be like on 98.9 now and some of the Radio Rucker, and he helps out with like Harlow and all those guys now. But he would let me shadow him on the Joe B and Denny show as well as some golf show running the board. So I kind of got the bug over at the competition over there, and he showed me the way with that and kind of getting my foot in the door and just doing anything and everything I could to try to be around this kind of fun little playground we call sports radio.
Dude, that's what a great story. I was thinking back to what was the coach's name, Tony?
Tony Branch.
At least he didn't say you should go try a different sport.
Yeah, no,
like,
no.
He got you. Yeah. So what was your basketball move? Did you have like, were you a 3-point shooter? Were you a defensive specialist? Like, what was your?
I could distribute the rock a little bit. Okay. Went out there. I still try to get some runs in with notable. Like I got Scotty Deesa that I see up at the gym. Tony Schmishmetti from the competition. Some may know him as Tony Vanetti. And then I got, let's see, Tom Lane I alluded to. Who else goes up there? So we'll get some runs playing pickup still, but it's you got to listen to your body. Now, I know we've talked about this off the air. Yes. It's just like sometimes you got to know when you can't do a Euro step like the young kids out there. You can't do the jab step you once did. So I just kind of mall walk and bring the ball up the court and facilitate to make sure I don't get hurt. I got to know.
I mean, I retired after my heart attack.
Yeah, yeah.
But
well,
before then, I mean,
you had the 6 a.m. runs, right?
My three-pointer was my. And then when I would shoot it and I knew it was going in, I would go wop. And so my nickname was Wop, you know, because I would go wop and wop. And there were games I hit multiple threes. I haven't told this on air, but, you know, I dropped in 11 in a game winner on Devontae Parker.
Nice.
Up there at Southeast. And he was still at U of L. So, but the story comes
full circle. But I've played with him, but he's really good.
After Miami, he came back and single-handedly beat my team 20-2. But ultimately, he was still at U of L, and he probably shouldn't have been playing because it was almost football season. But he came up there, and I was on a team with Clint and Alvin Sims. Remember Alvin Sims?
Yeah, definitely.
And then there was two other guys, and these guys were probably – played somewhere in Italy. I should not have been on this team. I just hit the free throw to be on the team. Because, you know, you line up, the first 10 guys hit the free throw, first five are on team one, second five are team two, and somehow I landed. Now, I've always been well-dressed on the basketball court.
Okay, so you're a decked-out guy, arm sleeves.
I looked like a basketball player. And this day, I had on a navy Adidas with silver Adidas, and then I had silver navy Adidas shorts with the Adidas navy on the side. So I was like, color coordinated, right? So anyway, we're playing, and I'm option 6 out of 5 on the court. Like, there's no reason I'm even going to take a shot. Clint Sims, he holds the greatest dunk of the 1990s for Eastern Kentucky University. Alvin, of course, was a U of L player. And the other two guys, I can't even know their names, but literally.
Make a play.
I had to not let my guy score 20 so we would win, right? So I get the ball, and they're going to give me a shot, and I take the first shot, game one. Which we won 20-12, but Devontae's over on the sidelines with a group, so I shoot it and I miss everything. I mean, I don't even hit the backboard. I hit the air ball.
Jitters.
Look, I mean, it's awful. You know, I mean, it's not even a chance and you know what. So anyway, the game ends and they come on the court and Devontae goes, I'll take Adidas. So he called for me, you know, and I'm like, oh, well, what am I going to do? So we go down the court, we come back and forth, and I come off of a pick. They throw me the ball. I turn and fire. And you know when you let go and
you're
like, that's got a chance.
You know, yeah.
Well, I didn't actually think it had a chance. Thought I was at Southeast on Blankenbaker. I thought I was shooting to Okolona. The ball goes in somehow. And they're like, come on, man, stay on him. He's like, no, I got him. Next time around, I come to the other side off a pick. I catch the ball. I'm feeling it. This time it went in. I went whop, and it went in. That's two threes. And the guys are like, stay on him. He's like, no, he's not going to do that again. So we got a couple more exchanges. I come down. Dude, I drain another three. That's three threes, and the guy goes, Devontae goes, I'm guarding him. He's like, no, man, he's done. I ain't going to get it. So we go back and forth. It's 18-17. We're up 18-17. They come back. So I come off the pick on the initial side where I hit the first three. I catch the ball. I square up. And first off, my vertical leap, I can barely get over a napkin without leaving a footprint, okay? So I pump fake. Devontae leaves his feet. I drive in and left-hand layup, and I go, next!
Against an NFL player, Division One.
Now, he wasn't NFL yet.
But, I mean, the future. But you're talking about it, you know, a decade plus later. Yes. He just retired from the NFL. You got to, you know, look, those are the moments.
Yes.
And like, if you're, look, we don't, let's be
we're
honest.
Talking we're talking to our grandkids
We're three.
There's probably his friend group somewhere saying
that they're still making
fun of
him.
Do you remember when that chunky Asian dropped in 11 on you in a game winner? But you're in still in his 40s when he
those are the things that you hold on to. So I'm still hanging on by a thread, but I'm definitely the guy now that doesn't go nearly as hard and just collects the championship shirts at the end of the season. So I'm high maintenance now. I gotta know it's 6 o'clock league. It's not this 4 hour window. I'm the diva of the group now that I'm the vet, which is nice to just show up and just go in when collect my shirts if we win the season, and I'm perfectly content with that now.
And which is great, and you got good hair, so for a minute we should talk about our hair connection we have, right?
Okay, let's dive into this.
Let's throw her out.
Well, you gotta. Well,
I'm out.
Yeah, I was gonna say
Mike doesn't have hair.
my Mach 3 takes care of my hair about 3 times a week.
Okay.
But so we knew each other from the local sports clips.
Yes.
And we started seeing some stuff. We started seeing each other up there. I was like, hey, what
shout
do you
out
do?
To Maddie Harden.
And yeah, she's since moved on to a different location at Vantage, but that's where we started kind of building up our rapport with that outside of this place. And we had the same hairdresser, I guess, or the hairstylist is what they're called. But it was funny because I know at the peak of COVID, she was sneaking out to see you in terms of like cutting your hair, right?
Her grandmother's garage, her grandmother's house, she would cut my hair on the porch of the grandmother's garage.
What a weird time. I had a photo that popped up from like 4 years ago where my hair's all shaggy and everything. I'm like, what a bizarre time.
And I get a cut every 12 days, 10 to 12 days. So that was critical that she be able to cut my hair, honestly, because I didn't have a Flowbee.
Yeah.
It wasn't anybody out there listening. A Flowbee was the thing. They Google it. I mean, look at it. It's a hair clipper connected to a vacuum cleaner. And what's stupid is the before and after look exactly the same. It's like Ron needs a haircut, but he can't get to the stylist. No worries, he's got the Flowbee, and he doesn't like before and after exact same hair.
That's
basically
awesome.
And then it's like only at Ronco. It's one of those, call 1-800-777 money back guarantee. You'll be there 6 to 8 weeks. Basically,
cut a half inch off your hair.
Yeah, no, that's
barely
awesome.
Did that. But so that's where you bought product it. Though in your hair.
Sometimes she'll put some of the treat, but I don't. I mean, sometimes I do, and sometimes I'm just like, it looks okay today. I used to be particular about it. Like when I was at Myers and Seneca, I was just like, got to be this. But then
mousse,
I was just,
did you use mousse?
Not mousse. It's just kind of like that pomade stuff. Look, when I worked at like Kroger and Finish Line and all those things around that little corridor between McMahon and then St. Matthews and Jefferson Ball, I was kind of like, I don't need to worry about my hair.
It's so funny that you see, now I got 12, 13, 14-year-old boys, and now it's this shag hair.
Oh,
like you said, coming back in this long hair.
I had
hair.
That. Like, I had my motorcycle permit where my hair was really shaggy. I got a whim. I was like, I'm going to get a motorcycle. That lasted like a month.
Like, was it dangly shaggy?
It was pretty long. Yeah, I'll have to show it to you. It was kind of like
could
what the
you
youngs do now.
On it?
I could probably man bun it, yeah. Yeah, I'll have to show it to you. I mean, when you're in college, you're just like, I'm going to go for something different and everything.
But did you have scruff?
Yeah.
Were you feared, do you think?
Like, no one feared. No.
What kept you from getting a tattoo?
Like, that's a good question. I never really got the bug like some of my roommates did. So, and it's, I kind of always like my now wife, we were dating at the time, and I was just kind of like, this is kind of what we're going to do. And then one day I was just on a whim. I was like, I'm buzzing my head. So, that's what we're operating with now, with the boss says goes.
Yeah, I have two of the three boys. It's like they won't. It's like they'll go 3 months without getting a haircut. I'm like, it's getting shaggy.
I don't care
that it's long. You can have long hair, and that's what they want. But it's like, man, it's coming over your ears. I mean, you look like you don't have a neck. You look like, you could be Wolverine. I mean, just let me get it cleaned up for you. And they just think they always cut too much off, Dad. They cut too much off.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. I've never been able to have long hair. I did one time. I called it the Ron Goldman haircut.
Okay.
And it was like the flow back, and then it dangled in the front a little bit. And then I cut it short, and it's stayed short ever since. I just can't.
That's the only time
I can't get past the fuzz stage.
Yeah, it's the weird in-between stage is the most difficult part.
The last time I can remember I had long hair, of course, I always had a high and tight kind of haircut, was my communion picture. My second grade picture was, I called it, the chili bowl.
Oh, yeah.
I look like I could have been Ringo Starr.
Did you hear a Franciscan monk? I cannot picture Shad with hair like that. That's crazy. All right, so you family-wise, we won't go too deep.
Yeah.
You got some young babies.
Yeah, no, my beautiful wife, Lauren. We've been married going on 8 years, dated forever before that, and then two beautiful daughters. One's 3, and the other one has just turned 3 months. So Chloe
and
Ella.
Are you finished with the children?
I'm along for the ride right now. They're the ones that have to do the heavy lifting in that regard. So it's just whatever – whatever she wants to do with that. So I'm good right now. But, you know, folks that I have some friends, it's such a rarity because, like, they come from massive Catholic families with, like, 10, 11 brothers and sisters, and the ripple effect of cousins. My family's relatively small, and it was just kind of, like, overwhelming at times when we first, like, started to be the family. I'm like, this is a lot. But, no, I, you know, it's... Times have changed where it's one of these things where you see some folks. It's crazy for some of my friends that have four kids now, and that's like unheard of, I feel like, for folks my age. But yeah, right now, just kind of enjoying the time with the little ones, and the 3-year-old and the 3-teenager is alive and well. So
it goes fast.
Yeah.
Now, I chickened out on my vasectomy. I just wanted to warn you up front.
Okay.
If it comes down to it, like listen, there's actual work done on day one. Like when they told you it was going to be a consultation, this is like why I went into shock. I thought we were just going to talk about it. And the guy walks in and says, show me the boys. And I'm like, oh, what on earth is happening right here? And then he just, okay, you're scheduled for Friday. Here's a prescription. Spun me out, went out the door. And I still didn't know what happened. And so I was like, really? You know, it was a major surgery.
Do you ever get, hey, I'm a big fan of the show?
No. But what happened was I discovered that the groomer at the urologist was a girl I went to high school with. And I'm like, okay, I'm not going in there and, you know, getting groomed for this thing to happen. And so I just never ended up going. And so, you know, I chickened out.
But I know for a fact in situations similar to that, where there has been a listener of, I'm not going to say this station, but of some of the sports radio entities around here, they tried to talk shop while they were getting the consultation.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty
probably
funny.
Not the spot, no, but it's just like, it's water cooler talk to them,
Moon
right?
Moon River.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's get back to
it's not
G-rated.
Really that. It's really not that bad, Jeff.
All right, so what are your plans, man? What's the future for Phil Baker? First off, I just want to tell you, Mike and I love the show. We think you're dynamic, man. Your personality's great. You're on air ease. I think you're very distinctive voice. I really think that there's big things for Phil Baker later on. And just remember us when you make it big.
Well,
now what is the future hold? What does the future hold for you, bro?
Well, no, it's cool. Kern and I appreciate that. Nick and I kind of started out as interns together around the same time. He was part time doing 100 different things. One of the most talented people. We have fun with him on the show, but one of the most talented people in this city that was seriously an octopus when I started. And I say that from the sense that he would be producing, co-hosting, cutting commercials, cutting spots at our old studios off Blankenbaker by Papa John's headquarters. And it's kind of been fun to see him grow, get the Bellarmine job, play-by-play job for the national championship, get the Louisville Bats gig, helps out with UofL football games for some of their PA things.
Women's basketball
play-by-play now with that. So he's had a lot of opportunities to grow, and it's been nice to see that. So we started out as interns. It just started out as a fun little thing for us. His former co-host, Nick Evans, which we haven't updated the imaging on some of the shows, prep for that. He went on to work at UofL as like the SID, now works in the university thing. So it was cool to kind of be the young guys and kind of see the fruits of our labor, kind of build that. So next up, I mean, right now, we got the rights to UofL here. We got Louisville City and things like that. And I know kind of led on the backs of Double D with that. But I always go back to the sweat equity that was put in here for guys like John Salzman, Jason Anderson, Andy Sweeney, even Drew Diener. And to be a small part of that, it's kind of been fulfilling to see like us grow from that. And I have to kind of remind some of the producers here sometimes, it's like it wasn't always like this. Like John and I actually were talking about before the show, there was a time. So Jeff Montgomery, are you familiar with that name?
Yeah,
he was a pitcher in Major League Baseball, was one of the part owners of our sister station in Kansas City. And these are things where I always joke about my tell-all book that I want to do. And I promise I'm going to get the answer to your question. I'm not dodging, but it's got to lead to this. He was moving his son out of Washington University, I believe in St. Louis. Our sister station and home office is in Kansas City. So when I'm here as an intern, part-timer and whatnot, we had these college football magazine previews that we were going to do, and we weren't going to get them on time for that. It's like, well, we got to drive to, you know, we got to drive to go get them if they can't get here for, you know, 4 weeks. The season's about to start. So I met a Major League Baseball, a retired. He was moving. He had a couch that he was moving for his son in St. Louis. So we met in the middle between Kansas City and Louisville in St. Louis, and it looked like a massive drug deal that was going on. So those are the stories that it's like, okay, the sweat equity that we put in here. So next up, you know, I go back to that of where we started, where we are, and just kind of keep building this. Yeah. I mean, you know, I will always be grateful for the opportunity that we've had here. And, you know, right now, perfectly happy with what we're doing here at ESPN Louisville and kind of building that up. But, you know, you never say never for other opportunities, but right now, happy.
Awesome, man. That's so good.
Yeah, I mean, because I love it that you're all tied in, deep-seated with Louisville, because, of course, I grew up a Louisville fan, you know, so just to get to see you all talk and, you know, hey, that's where I get my news for U of L in all capacities. So I'm usually listening to the Diener Show all the way up to the Drive and everybody else and in between, and listen to you guys when we leave the studio on Sunday mornings. And just, you know, it gives me my Louisville sports feel. So I'm glad you are doing it and keep growing.
Yeah,
I love the shake the tail feather lead in.
Oh, I know that. We've talked about that over that. I did that in a talent show at Seneca once. And
did
we,
you really? Yeah.
I think we should have won. We lost to a guy with a sword who was doing some performance. So I'm going to say this is like figure skating.
Sword?
Yeah, it was like that. I threw a hat. No joke. And there's footage out there, grainy on a flip cam, and it landed on somebody's head into the crowd. You should win with that, right?
Did
like,
everybody go nuts when
Yeah, it was perfect. It was poetry. I was Murphy Lee on that segment. I should have won, but I'm still not holding that grudge on that.
Yeah, man, that's still good. All right, we got a minute left. My question to you, what do you want people to know about Phil Baker that we didn't ask you?
Look, I mean, I love this community. I love what we've built here at the station. I like to think, God, that's a deep question for the final 60 seconds. I love working with guys, forming these relationships, like with guys like you, and kind of building what we're continuing to do here at ESPN Louisville. So, I mean, I know it's kind of dodging the question, but
good, man. I mean, you're quick on your feet. Well, I'm going to tell you, like the Titanic, it was an honor and a privilege to play with you, right?
That's right.
And so, everybody, this has been another great episode of Mortgage X's and O's, the winning playbook to get you home. We're here every Sunday from 9:30 to 10 on ESPN 680 AM, 105.7 FM, or live stream from anywhere, ESPNLouisville.com. I want to say thank you, Mavis. I know you're down there in Rainbow City, Alabama, listening in. One of our biggest fans. We appreciate you. I can't wait to get back there to see you. And Phil's going to probably go to the bathroom, and then
he'll be right back. Yeah, Phil Baker, Nick Curran, the Sunday Morning Hangover. You get to hear Phil for the next 2 hours.
And he's going to come dazzle you, tell you everything that happened in sports this weekend, and just give those guys a listen. They're awesome. Be blessed, everybody. We'll be back next week with another great show.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.